This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
It's Damer and DePietro and
Kyle Higashiyoshi.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Yeah, the counter.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rick DePietro.
I've done what I came to done.
Yes, this is ENN. This is Rick DePietro, not Rick DePietro, filling in for one Peter Rosenberg as he's off gallivanting on vacation. ENN is brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka. Please day drink responsibly. Before we get started with the stories, let's say good evening to the fellas. Good evening, Dave Rothenberg.
Jan Blachowicz. No, Jan Blachowicz. I love how happy I get. No, I've got it now. Blachowicz.
Oh, goodness. Good evening, Christopher Canty.
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez.
The fact that I just quit on it, though. I just stopped.
You gave up.
Yeah, that's my favorite. The fact that you just quit on it is my favorite. All right, so we had some afternoon baseball today. Currently going on. The Yankees game is officially over. Mets, end of the fifth, trail the Washington Nationals 7-5. Christopher's Yankees win another series. That's 9 of 10. They beat the Kansas City Royals 5-2 this afternoon. Mets had a doubleheader today. You got Marcus Stroman on the mound in game two. That's a 7-inning game. We'll see if Dave reacts during ENN to what's going on with the Mets game, because
no,
I know he's watching.
Because Conforto had a double moments ago and I said nothing. Oh,
you said nothing. You're saying everything when it was going well, and then all of a sudden I look at the score and I'm like, oh.
Why don't you have the game on?
I haven't having cable issues.
I guess it is a good thing to have cable issues while this game is going on.
Listen, I can't explain it. This is not my specialty.
I mean, put the game on.
If I could, I would.
That's a bad job by you.
No, stop it, please. All right, speaking of the Mets, we talked about this earlier in the show. We'll go back to it, get Mets fans excited. I don't know what for, but we try to figure out, is Juan Soto trying to send us a message? So he went to Instagram and posted a picture of himself standing at the plate in Citi Field with the message,
"Mueva las fichas por ti, no podemos solos."
Which is translated, "Let God move the chips for you. We can't do it alone. Hashtag Big Apple. Hashtag Dream. Hashtag New York. Hashtag 2021. Hashtag Future." So Mets fans saw this, and they thought it was a message indicating that there's interest in playing for the team. Are we reading too deeply into this, David?
We are, but you still have to just at least be titillated by it, no?
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
This is one of the great young players in all of baseball, and he's, I don't know, sending some cryptic message to how it sounds like he's interested in the Mets. That's moves the needle for me a little bit.
But is it even all that cryptic when it's him in Citi Field and he has Dreams, Future, Big Apple? Is it really cryptic? I mean, he's kind of letting it be known.
They've torn
the team down around him. Like, why would he want to hang around there?
On the flip side, if I'm a Nationals fan, I would be beside myself right now.
Aren't you already beside yourself, though, with what they did at the deadline?
Yeah, the one that would get me incensed is the Turner one, actually.
Turner.
Because Scherzer, you know, he's a free agent. He's you know, late stages of his career. But Turner's a young star.
Yeah, I was surprised with that. He felt like a foundational piece.
Listen,
he's a good player.
If Soto is upset and wants out, yeah, I mean, that would be woof.
Yeah, that would be woof. He's got 3 years of arbitration left. What are you giving up?
Everything?
Yeah,
you name it, we'll give it up.
you name it, we'll give it to you. We got Dopplers, whatever you need. Take it.
You want money? We'll give you money.
A lot of money. You want our training staff? We don't use them. Just don't use them.
don't we have a weather guy? We'll give you the weather guy and another weather guy and a lot of money.
Oh, How about our training staff? They're not doing anything.
And the training staff, and as we speak, Juan Soto rips one into the corner.
Of course he does.
Future Met Juan Soto.
Of course he does. Hashtag.
Run it up, Nats. Run it up.
See, can't he
bad guy. What
are
you doing?
He's a bad guy.
Why would you do that?
Just saying, Dave.
I want
you guys to be put out of your misery. I don't want you guys to be hanging on to this false hope.
Yeah, this is
this team is going nowhere fast. And the general manager told you so yesterday. Accept it.
It's amazing.
You guys are still in the denial phase of this thing with the Mets this year.
Bad guy.
No, we're not. Yeah, we were in first place for what, over 90 days?
90 days.
Now
and this team will not be, and you heard it here first, you can book it, this team will not be in first place the rest of the way.
So you think there's not a day that goes by that they dip their toe into first place again?
That's right. That is right.
I hate your attitude right now. I hate it.
Yeah, but you know what you hate more? The fact that I'm probably right. That's what
you
hate more.
Would you give Andrew Gunling $100 if the Mets, for one day, are back in first
place? Why would I give Andrew Gunling $100?
Why not?
Why would
I go buy horse poop? You know why.
No.
Why not?
How about I'll make a donation to the Chris Canning Foundation?
I'm so jacked up right now. I need to eat this horse poop.
In Andrew Gunling's name. In Andrew Gunling's name.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll do that. I'll do that. Not a problem.
Gunling, I asked a Philadelphia Eagles fan yesterday if they'd be interested in Deshaun Watson, and they told me, nah, not really. I'm good with Jalen Hurts. Do you feel the same?
I got no interest in Watson.
Are you serious?
None?
None. Zero. Don't want him.
Why?
Don't want him.
Because of his off the field?
Yeah. I just have a hard time right now making that guy the face of my team.
Okay.
I just do.
But not for what he is on the field.
No, on the field. Okay. Of course, he's a top five quarterback, but I just have no interest in bringing that in right now and making it the face of the franchise.
Interesting.
I think that's fair.
No, that's fair. I'm surprised. I don't know. We talked about this yesterday. I'm surprised this hasn't been, like, he hasn't settled those cases.
It doesn't sound like they're going to be settled.
Well, no, it feels like he's going to miss the whole year at this point.
Yeah, that's what I said yesterday. I think he misses the entirety of the season.
It doesn't sound like he's playing in the preseason. All right, let's move along. Let's get to some New York Jets. Before we get to the Zach Wilson stuff, because Dave and everyone else, I'm so sick and tired of this. Like, I got Colin Cowherd saying he reminds of, you know, people of, reminds me of Johnny Manziel. Like, we're already at that point. Has one bad green-white scrimmage, and all of a sudden he's turned into Johnny Manziel. I don't like that. At all.
Why would you lie?
I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair. He's small, cocky, and comes for money, so he's Johnny Manziel. That's where we're going with this already.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Rico. Like, I don't agree with that at all. I feel like Colin Cowherd was way out of line. I mean, it's really baseless. I mean, Johnny Manziel, we knew the off the field issues from him coming out of Texas A&M. You heard the stories. I mean, that just kind of continued once he got to the NFL, with him wanting to go to Vegas at the rookie minicamp and all that other stuff. Like, that's not what Zach Wilson is. So I don't understand the connection that Colin Cowherd was trying to make between the two quarterbacks. I don't even think they play the same. Like, in terms of their overall play style, I don't think it's the same. So, yeah, I don't like that parallel. I don't like that comparison at all.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So, you know, Zach, well, I will say this, though. Like, he knows. He gets it. Like, I get it. You know, first green-white game, you know, the second overall pick, you're trying to do too much. But I feel like when you hear him talk, he has a pretty good, you know, understanding of what this is going to be about and the kind of pressure that he's under. So let's hear Zach Wilson talk about trying to learn from his mistakes.
Taking care of the ball is 100% a quarterback's job. And one of my goals when I came out here and I got drafted was just like, how can I adapt to this NFL game as quickly as I can? And I can't be afraid to make mistakes, especially in practice. You know, this isn't a game. This is where I'm learning what I get away with and what I can't. And so, you know, there's times where, you know, maybe in a real game, I probably wouldn't throw that. But it's times where I'm like, well, let me try right here and see what I can get away with. And it's, you know, as we get closer to a game, you have to start teaching yourself. You know, in that situation, you know what? CJ got a hand on it. He made the play. And so it's like, okay, well, next time in that situation, that same look, I'm going to check the ball down. And so that's what we practice for, is to be able to play situations out like that.
That's the right mentality to have, though. It really is. Because, Chris, well, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, though, Chris. We get some of these young quarterbacks, like, getting the spots like this as the season progresses and they keep making mistakes. Now, all of a sudden, they lose. I mean, confidence starts getting chipped away, and they won't make throws that they should make because they're afraid they're going to make a mistake. And that's the last place you want them to be.
No, you're right. I mean, listen, it's young players in general, but quarterbacks in particular. Like, you got to figure out what your limitations are so you can be more effective when it really counts. And I think that's what you use practice for, especially if you're a young guy, your first training camp. Just try to figure out, you know, how you can adapt your game so that you can produce at the NFL level. And that's what Zach Wilson's doing. I mean, everybody knows there's a huge learning curve when it comes to playing quarterback. And a part of it is adjusting to the speed of the game. There were throws that he got away with at BYU that he's not going to be able to make as the Jets quarterback. And this is the time for him to learn those things. So when you couple that with the fact that it generally takes offenses a little longer to catch up in training camp to defenses, like, Zach Wilson is where he needs to be. People need to pump the brakes and stop panicking about this kid.
The guy hasn't even played a preseason game yet, and there's already concern about him. It's ridiculous. The only thing that would concern me, and it's a stupid thing, but it's just sheer numbers, that of these four quarterbacks taken, Fields, Lance, Lawrence, and Wilson, I'd say there's really no chance that all are going to be good, right?
Yeah, one or two are going to fail.
So you got to figure Lawrence is going to be good, and then they're gaga over Fields already, and they're excited about Lance. I don't know, just from, and it makes no sense, I understand, but just from sheer numbers, I get worried with that. But realistically, there's no reason to be concerned about him.
Dave, so the one thing that would concern me about Zach Wilson is the fact that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch threw up this smoke screen in the pre-draft process about Mac Jones, and they didn't say anything about Trey Lance, which leads me to believe like they knew that Lance was their guy, and they wanted the Jets to take Zach Wilson. They didn't want them sniffing up the Trey Lance tree. That would be the one thing that would concern me a little bit, because I feel like that caught everybody in the NFL world by surprise. But didn't catch me by surprise, but it just seems like there was that smoke screen, and the only thing that I guess I could say that they would do that, the only motivation behind that would have to be to make sure that the Jets didn't get their guy. That would be the only reason. No other explanation makes sense to me. So I would be a little concerned if Kyle Shanahan felt like Trey Lance was the second best quarterback in his class and not Zach Wilson.
And not to mention the fact that the Jets haven't done a really good job of developing young quarterbacks.
So how worried are you, Rick?
You didn't like the way that Sam Darnold developed?
No.
Geno Smith?
I did not.
Mark Sanchez?
No.
Okay.
No. How concerned are you? Like if he has a bad game Saturday, are you going to be upset next week?
No.
Is it going to take well into the regular season, right?
Yeah, well, at least I'm going to give him at least one full year.
If y'all get pummeled in week one, though, you're not going to like that.
Good change. Come talk to me after week one.
But, I mean, we've gone through this so many times. Some of the great quarterbacks in the history of football have struggled out of the gate.
No, I understand what you're saying, and you're not wrong. But I just think it's been – fresh off of Sam Darnold, there is a level of concern from Jets fans, especially because of what Chris said, all the things you're hearing about Justin Fields. It wasn't like, this is why we were so adamant last year. Once we started losing, it was like, just keep losing. Because it's like Trevor Lawrence, it doesn't feel like you can screw that up. Now left to your own devices, where it's okay, now pick which one you like. It was kind of like with the Giants and the offensive linemen. You have the first pick. Pick who you like. And they picked Andrew Thomas, and right now, at the moment, doesn't feel like that was the right decision.
No, it doesn't.
So I'll tell you what will help Zach Wilson, though, is some good help with the wide receivers. And apparently, from everything I've heard, Elijah Moore's been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So to the point where, this is Odell Beckham Jr., says that Elijah Moore may be all-pro as a rookie. And even better, A.J. Brown, wide receiver for Tennessee, says, I'll bet all my game checks on Elijah Moore winning Rookie of the Year. That's how confident.
It wouldn't be a great wager, though, from him.
Well, no, but if it happens, I mean, that's a lot of confidence right there.
Yeah, but, I mean, statistically, we should probably get some money raised to go against A.J. Brown.
Why? If I was saying that about Tony, you'd be doing backflips right now.
Yeah, but the point is that the guy's not going to win Rookie of the Year. Wide receiver. I mean, with all the quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, there's no way he's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Probably not, but why can't you just let me dream? He's going to be great.
Dream all the way. Good bad REM guy. Sleep. Dream. Dream it away.
You're lucky you're not at training camp. I'd fight you. Speaking of fighting at training camp.
Rob Sala would really frown on that, though.
He would. Let's hear what he had to say about the lack of fights in training camp so far.
I think this team really cares about one another. I think these guys understand what each person puts in every single day, and I think they respect that the work that they're trying to put on tape. I think when you see fights, it's when players are being cheap and doing extra and really trying to hurt another person's career. Playing your tail off and playing with effort and technique and a little bit of physicality is not cheap. That's just part of football, and I think these guys respect one another.
I don't know if I agree with all that.
No, neither do I. I mean, you're going to get in fights. It's football. Like, a part of it is being able to win your one-on-one battles to dominate the guy in front of you. Sometimes things get a little chippy. Like, you can understand fighting one of your teammates if you guys have been practicing against each other for the past month and a half. Like, you get, like, that happens. Like, I would be more concerned if there weren't any training camp fights over in Florham Park.
In hearing that a second time, I actually really dislike that. I'm really bothered by that. And we respect each other too much. Give me a break. I mean, this is football. It happens, Chris has said, it happens every single camp he's ever been in. That's the nature of football. You can fight a guy, and 90 seconds later, it can be completely forgotten. So I think he sounds kind of silly when he makes that statement.
I think that's why people felt like it may be a shot at the Giants a little bit.
But why would you do that?
I don't know. Listen, I can't answer that question, but all the good teams I've ever played on, there have been plenty of fights between teammates. Just because you're going at it so hard in practice that you just get frustrated and you fight, and then, you know, it's over and you're buddies again.
Rico, I would be more concerned as a teammate if you didn't get into a fight with me. Like, how am I going to trust that if we get into a game that you're going to have my back, that you're going to fight to get your job done? You know what I'm saying? Like, those are things that you have to worry about, like, you know, football is just one of those sports, man. You're going to have to assert yourself, and sometimes the other guy that you're playing against is not going to like it. In the context of a practice, there are going to be fights that happen in training camp. That's just what it is. To not have that at all, I don't know, man.
I wonder what Chris Canty was like in training camp. Maybe if there was some sound from maybe DeMarcus Ware.
Chris Canty was one of those dudes where when he walks into a room, he commands – what it is. I mean, he's 6'7", huge dude, right?
Yeah.
And I remember him and Campbell. But Chris Canty got into a lot of fights. That's just the way Chris Canty is. If you say one thing to him, if he don't like you, he's going to make sure by the end of practice that you pay for it. So, you know, Chris is one of those dudes, man, that, you know, when we got drafted together, he should have got drafted higher. And, I mean, played, had an awesome career. But those fights with Dan Campbell, them two dudes, they stayed at it the whole time.
Mr. Canty kneecap biter himself.
Canty and Campbell.
Canty, hey, man, that wasn't no easy win, Dave. Dan Campbell was all-day sucker.
Right?
Let me tell you, that was my first training camp fight, and I had the radio for backup. It didn't
really
go my way. Now, that wasn't the last time we got into it, and I won my fair share. But I'll say this, Dan Campbell is one of the real tough guys in the NFL. And that's why, like, I know his press conferences are hard to understand, but I got to believe that guys in the locker room, that's going to be something that comes off well. Because if he's genuine with those dudes, they're going to realize that he is a real tough guy.
Did you underestimate him? Like, you went in thinking you can easily take him and he surprised you, or no?
Well, yeah, Dave, he was a tight end. I mean, how many, like, if I'm a defensive lineman, I should be able to dominate a tight end, right? But Dan Campbell was no ordinary tight end.
No, he was a
tough
guy.
That's what I come to find out.
Yep.
Like, Giants fans already knew that. I was a rookie. I had to learn that the hard way. But, I mean, listen, man, like DeMarcus talks about, like, training camp fights happen, man. They just do. So, like, if you got a team where nobody's getting into it with one another, I would question how hard that team is practicing and whether that team has the kind of competitive spirit that's going to lead to them having a successful season.
Speaking of Dan Campbell, you're going to love this audio.
Is there more for
how that? Is Dan Campbell feeling about his Detroit Lions team so far?
I do believe we have some talented players on this team that have plenty of grit. That's a good thing, you know? Look, I think there was a number, I've said this when I walked in, there was a number of guys that were here, and I think Patricia Quinn did a great job of, there's no turds here. There's no bad guys. Like, these guys work now, you know? We don't have guys, I'm lazy, blah, blah. We don't really have those guys.
No turds.
No, turd free.
They got no turds. Turd free.
Turd free.
All right, here we go.
He's
last
being
one.
Himself, though, Rico. He is being himself.
No, but that's all you can do, right?
No duplicate there.
That's all you can do is be yourself.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So Jorge Soler was recently acquired by the Atlanta Braves. It's possible, distinctly possible, that he either forgot or didn't know that Drew Smyly was a starting pitcher for his own team. Here was him last night being asked about Smiley's two, I don't even know what you wrote here, Andrew. Six inning, two run performance.
Drew Smyly tonight, excellent. Six innings of two run baseball. How good was he? What did you see playing behind him?
Bueno, que Smyly jugó super bien esta noche. Cuéntanos qué tuviste de tu punto de vista ahí en el terreno.
¿De quién?
De Drew Smyly.
Drew Smyly.
Sí, el pecho de nosotros.
Oh, sí. Esta noche. Bueno, tiró tremenda, tiró seis entradas ahí super bien, solamente.
¿Qué?
Who's Drew Smyly?
Drew Smyly?
Yeah. What is this man you speak of?
Yeah, I played with a guy with. I played with a guy that wore a helmet at first base. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. It was John Olerud.
No, and Andrew tries to defend him by saying, like, well, he was just acquired. He's been in the major leagues for how long?
Yeah, I don't. It didn't sound like he knew that Drew Smyly was on his team.
No, could you imagine that? They should have just said, right. What do you think about the
could
starting
you not
pitcher?
Know that?
Oh, he was very, very good.
He was good. He's on my team? Yeah, he was great. Fantastic.
Excellent.
All right, there you have it. That is ENN brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Vodka is 10 times distilled and made in small batches. Taste the difference for yourself. Please day drink responsibly.
Very well done. I mean, that was a really nice ENN by you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Did you
that.
Feel like I was overly talkative?
No. I feel like you were engaged.
Okay, good.
I want you engaged.
Oh. Yeah, great.
Rico, I got to make a correction from earlier. Dave said that J.R. Smith didn't go to college, and one J.R. Smith is enrolling at North Carolina A&T University.
Well, he had to attend college prior. He didn't go to college.
He is going to college. J.R. Smith is going to college.
Beautiful. By the way,
never too old.
Somebody sent me the dimensions of the Field of Dreams Park. I mean, this is interesting to know. For some of us, it's going to be designed to resemble old Comiskey. 335, 400, and 380 with 16-foot-high fences and Musco field lights, whatever that means.
I gave you the dimensions.
Yeah, but they, I mean, they made those dimensions for a specific reason.
All you asked was for the dimensions. You didn't ask why.
Yeah, but you know what? They made it for a specific reason, and you laughed at me. Okay? I'm done with you
Never.
Today. We'll do this Stop. Again tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Can't wait.
All right. Oh, you know what? Do we do Rule 76? How do we do
yes.
this now?
Yes, we
haven't
do.
Done it on the K-Show, though.
No, it doesn't matter. It's what we do. We do
okay.
it.
Okay, then let's do it. Oh, God. Rule 76.
No excuses. Plague a champion. It's DPH, Rocanthi, Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.